We do not have any children this morning, which is a surprise. We usually, you know, have a boisterous few, and we have a quiet all. So I think at this point we will move to our program, and I'm very, very pleased to introduce our speaker, who is a friend to many of us here. Jim Armstrong has been a member for several years, along with his wife, Laura, and who is usually here, our treasured pianist, Pippa. Jim was Winona's first poet laureate, and we think he still is because he still has the laurel. I think that's correct. And, of course, continues to write as well as compose music. And, of course, we are pleased to have him here this morning.
All right. Thank you, Margaret. Hello, everybody. Good to see you on this. Good that you are able to fix your clocks in time to get here. I have two announcements before we begin. First, to remind people when they come up here to read their poems, we are now putting the mic to our side. You know, like those people at Broadway who have the mic strapped to their heads when they're singing? So you picture about right here. This. You speak into it like this, okay? So if you're coming up here to read a poem, do that. The second thing to remind you about is if you're a reader, please read only your poem. Because in the interest of time, we want to get through all the poems, but you will notice on your program, people have given little descriptions of why they selected this poem and what it means to them, okay? First, I'm going to begin with a little introduction to this first poetry service. Unitarianism began with a critical questioning of Christian dogma, the right of any reasoning mind to sift through Scripture and determine, as they would have put it, the transient from the transcendental. If Scripture was inspired but not infallible, then what about other forms of literature? Was not Wordsworth poetry also a source of inspiration? And what about our own thoughts and experiences? Emerson, Ralph Waldo Emerson, the man who more than any other person is responsible for our modern Unitarianism, laid the foundations for our Unitarian faith. Ralph Waldo Emerson wrote in 1840, "The tendencies of the times are so democratical that we shall soon have not so much as a pulpit or raised platform in any church or townhouse, but each person who is moved to address any public assembly will speak from the floor." He pointed to the like revolution in literature. Only one man in the thousand may print a book, but one in ten or one in five may inscribe his thoughts in a private journal. The philosophy of the day has long since broached a more liberal doctrine of the poetic faculty than our fathers held, and reckons poetry the right and power of every person to whose culture justice is done. He said of his friend, whose poems he was recommending that had been written privately in his journal, he said of his friend's poems, "Here is religion, which is not the Church of England, not the Church of Boston. Here is the good, wise heart, which sees that the end of culture is strength and cheerfulness." So today, we will speak from the floor, and we will bring Scriptures of the Wise Heart. Our first poem is from Coco. Is Coco here? Yes, she is. Coco will read Creative Flow.
"I constantly have angels singing in my mind. They share their praises and move me in a way that can't be defined. They say I'm beautiful, kind, and simply divine, that my soul shines so bright because it was made by design. Harmonies flooding my veins, leaving notes in my mind. My soul burns with a passion like an eternal flame for artistry of all kinds. I must have butterflies in my heart, the way it flutters and beats so eloquently, the way they caress my nectar soul so delicately and spread their beautiful colors throughout my energy. I have a way with the trees. They teach me not to fight, but sway with the breeze. They give me life and air to put my soul at ease, and they show me that beautiful things can grow where they once were deceased. And though my mind may feel overwhelmed at times, like a scattered shadow running from the sun, this prophet heart of mine is always leading my path with a fleeting whisper of amazing things yet to come. Thank you.
Thank you. That was Coco Walker, who now will have to go and be with the children because she's also our K through 4 RE teacher. The next poem is Fluffy Flakes, written and read by Michael Hassing.
Fluffy Flakes. Fluffy flakes, freely floating, fastly falling, frosting freckled face, forehead, flying fastly forward finch, firm flowing fascination, formation fires flurries, ferocious firmament flails fusillade, feather fixtures, foggy forest forming fuzzy facade, flimsy fingers faking final flight, follow flowing, fluid flux, fresh fragile fragments, frail fringed freeze, feelings flame, finite fleeting fickle flavors, frost's forgotten fellows, fortune fondles favorite folks, fans fantastic factions, fabulous fury, fun forever.
Our next poem, They Sit Together on the Porch, is by Wendell Berry. It was chosen by Paul Koner, and I am going to read it for him. They sit together on the porch, the dark, almost fallen, the house behind them dark, their supper done with, they have washed and dried the dishes. Only two plates now, two glasses, two knives, two forks, two spoons, small work for two. She sits with her hands folded in her lap, at rest. He smokes his pipe. They do not speak. And when they speak at last, it is to say, what each one knows, the other knows. They have one mind between them now. Now that finally, for all its knowing, will not exactly know which one goes first through the dark doorway, bidding good night, and which sits on a while alone. The next poem was chosen by Emily Falk, and I am going to read that for her as well. It is Grace by Orlando Ricardo Menes, a Cuban-American poet and professor. Grace. We cannot buy it in bulk at Trader Joe's, swap it for gold, or hoard shares of Grace Incorporated to hedge against bad luck. We acquire it without contract, promissory notes, or IOUs, neither codicils nor fine print. We gather grace safe from litigation or severance, and though we might breach the strictures of creed, it cannot be forfeited or suspended. Rather, grace is asymmetric, parabolic, skewed to love, imminent and absolute, but also unpredictable as quantum particles, both here and there, both full and empty, so it might arrive inopportunely and thus slip under hope, upsetting the earnest prayer, teasing our faith like some rain bands, copious cumuli, that appear astray, unbidden in stagnant skies, to drench at last the drought-scourged earth. The next poem, After Making Love by Galway Kinnell, chosen and read by Greg Schmidt.
The full title is After Making Love, We Hear Footsteps. For I can snore like a bullhorn, or play loud music, or sit up talking with any reasonably sober Irishman, and Fergus will only sink more deeply into his dreamless sleep, which goes by all in one flash. But let there be that heavy breathing or a stifled cum cry anywhere in the house, and he will wrench himself awake and make for it on the run. As now, we lie together after making love, quiet, touching along our bodies, familiar touch of the long married, and he appears in his baseball pajamas, it happens, the neck opening so small he has to screw them on, and flops down between us and hugs us and snuggles himself to sleep, his face gleaming with satisfaction at being this very child. In the half darkness, we look at each other and smile and touch arms across this little, startlingly muscled body, this one whom habit of memory propels to the ground of his making. Sleeper only mortal sounds can sing awake. This blessing love gives again into our arms.
The next poem, chosen by Michael Doyle, is an excerpt from Carl Sandburg's The People, Yes. The people, yes, born with bones and heart fused in deep and violent secrets, mixed from a bowl of sky blue dreams and sea slime facts, a seething of saints and sinners in a womb of superstition, faith, genius, crime, sacrifice, the one and only source of armies, navies, work gangs, the living, flowing breath of the history of nations, of the little family of man hugging the little ball of earth. The honorable orators, the gazettes of thunder, the tycoons, big shots, and dictators flicker in the mirrors a few moments and fade through the glass of death for discussion in an autocracy of worms. While the rootholds of the earth nourish the majestic people, piling revolt on revolt across night valleys, letting loose insurrections, uprisings, strikes, marches, mass meetings, banners, declared resolves, plodding in a somnambulism of fog and rain, till a given moment exploded by long-prepared events. Then again, the overthrow of an old order and the trials of another new authority and death and taxes, crops and droughts and mortgages, house rent, groceries, jobs, pay cuts, layoffs, relief and passion and poverty and crime and the paradoxes not yet resolved made by the people out of the roots of the earth. The people take the earth as a tomb of rest and a cradle of hope. This old anvil laughs at many broken hammers. There are men who can't be bought. The fireborn are at home in fire. The stars make no noise. You can't hinder the wind from blowing. Time is a great teacher. Who can live without hope? In the darkness, with a great bundle of grief, the people march. In the night, and overhead a shovel of stars for keeps, the people march. Where to? What next? The next poem, I Am a Refugee, by Alan Linhart, chosen and read by Dick Dahl. Did I say that right, Dick? Linhart? Alan Linhart? Okay.
Okay. I'm a refugee. I may not speak your language or wear the clothes you do. I don't know all your customs or the brand names you use. My skin may not be light like yours. Our religion's not the same. Our history's quite different, as is my family name. I was driven from my homeland, sent fleeing for my life, escaping from my enemies with my children and my wife. I'm a stranger in your country and feel quite out of place. I can feel the questions in your eyes when you look upon my face. I've lost my home, my land, my job. I'm now a refugee, looking for compassion and a bit of humanity. I have few earthly treasures. I live in poverty. That doesn't mean I'm worthless. I don't want sympathy. I just need understanding, a chance to start anew. I want to live my life in peace, just like you and you and you. Please take the time to know me and try to understand. You'll find that I'm not so different if you give me half a chance. I don't have many choices, no home to get back to. Can you please accept my family to live in peace with you? Were not your fathers once like me, a stranger in this land? And did not others help them out and lend a helping hand? So are we not all refugees, all seeking freedom here, all seeking for a better life, escaping all our fears? I want the things that you do, to raise my family, to work and play like you do, and live in harmony. I implore you to accept me and let our families blend a future shared together as we become your friends.
The next poem, Response to the Killing of Rene Good by Len Rabuse. This will be read by Barb Hassing.
Such heart heaviness. The back and forth has begun before the blood has even dried. Is there not even a speck of humanity to pause and reflect and acknowledge the senseless loss of life before the finger pointing and shouting begins? Walking in a field with my dog, a flock of 200 birds swoop down, then loop back up in synchronicity, in beauty. No heaviness there. Green grass peeking through the snow after our unseasonable January rain, reminding things change. It won't always be this way. We are in a dark night. The evil seems pervasive and unbeatable. Photos of the bloody airbag and the stuffed animals in the glove compartment, someone isn't coming home to their loved ones tonight. And the reasons for that are lacking. It is beyond sad. It is wrong. The birds chatter in the trees. The sun peeks from behind a cloud. The air the wind stirs is fresh. Leafless trees, brown and gray, silent sentinels remind it won't always be this way. There is beauty now. There is beauty to come. Subtle reminders that all is not dark, all is not heaviness, all is not despair. Yet there still remains the struggle. Our effort is required. Even just remembering is an act of defiance, of resistance. Join me and remember. Join me and resist. There is still love. There is still intelligence. There is still creativity. There is still compassion. There is still good. There is still hope. We are tough. We can do hard. We are perfect for the task of calling out the bully, of saying no, of facing the evil together.
The next poem, Waves, by Alex Klingenberg, chosen and read by Steve Bibby.
Waves, excuse me, waves. I go in and out, don't you? Into flow and gratitude, and out of it again. Into grief and hopelessness, and out of it again. Into routine, cooking, walks, connection. And then into the bath, the bed, my tears, my head. These days call for the ability to sway. Sway into reality, sway into empathy, and back again. Dip toes into fear, anxiety, awareness, and rest in creativity, distraction, comfort. We go in and out like tides, creating our own slow rhythms, finding the pulse of survival.
The next poem is Gird Thyself by Jessica York, chosen and read by Margaret Keeney.
This is not a prayer that you may find hope, for hope is a luxury that some cannot find and others cannot afford. This is not a prayer that you may find more love in the world, though I hope you continue to feel love and to send love to those near and far. I pray instead that you may find tools, a hammer lying half hidden in the grass, a roll of duct tape curled up and forgotten on a high shelf in the back of that closet, a wrench poking out of the back pocket of a stranger. Take these tools and gird thyself, the hammer for justice, duct tape to hold together your broken heart, a wrench to grip and provide advantage in applying torque to turn objects or turn the world. Take these tools and others you may find in places expected and unexpected. Take these tools and gird thyself, for weeping may last through the night, but the work begins in the morning.
The next poem, If I Must Die, by Rifat Alarir, chosen and read by Ray Keeney.
If I must die, if I must die, you must live, to tell my story, to sell my things, to buy some cloth and some strings, and make it white with a long tail, so that a child somewhere in Gaza, while looking heaven in the eye, awaiting his dad, who left in a blaze and bid no one farewell, not even his own flesh, not even to himself. Seeing the kite you made, my kite, flying up above, and thinks for a moment an angel is there, bringing back love. If I must die, let it bring hope, let it be a tale.
The next poem is Mother Nature, written and read by Sharon Mowry.
Mother Nature, Okay. Hail, birdie, full of flight, the universe is with you. Blessed are you among God's creatures, and blessed are the colors and songs of your heart avians. Hail, birdie, gift of nature, pray for us humans now and at the hours of your song. Hail, birdie, gift of nature, pray for us humans now and at the hours of your songs. Hail, birdie, full of flight, the universe is with you. Blessed are you among God's creatures, and blessed are the colors and songs of your heart avians. Hail, birdie, gift of nature, pray for us humans, now and at the hours of your songs. Gratitude.
Our final poem is Signs of Love by Karen Hadadan, chosen and read by Barb Hassing.
Signs of Love. This reminded me of you. I'm going to the grocery store. Need anything? Open your door. I sent you a gift. Did you get home safe? I am so proud of you. Let's go somewhere together. I'll be here for you. I'll cook this time. How are you, really? I think you'll like this song. I have an extra ticket. How can I help? Want to watch it together? Tell me about your day. Remember when we... Be ready at 8. I have a surprise. Let's work through this together. I can't imagine life without you.
We have heard the scriptures of the good heart from the floor, as promised. We want to thank all the people who came forward for the poems that they wrote or rewrote, and for the poems that they gathered from others. How many of you have a favorite poem? Raise your hands. How many of you have written a poem? Emerson would be pleased. I'd like to close with a poem from William Stafford, a great American poet who said if he was going to be anything, he would be a Unitarian. Just so you know. Poetry. Its door opens near. It's a shrine by the road. It's a flower in the parking lot of the Pentagon. It says, look around, listen, feel the air. It interrupts international telephone lines with a tune. When traffic lines jam, it gets out and dances on the bridge. If great people get distracted by fame, they forget this essential kind of breathing and they die inside their gold shell. When caravans cross deserts, it is the secret treasure hidden under the jewels. Sometimes commanders take us over and they try to impose their whole universe. How to succeed by daily calculation. I can't eat that bread.